As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil. Pushing buttons and doing everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you, Joe. We are taking you up to noon, and then we will hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, we have NBA basketball. Celtics Suns tonight? Where's the lookie?
I don't have it on me. Maybe this
There's basketball tonight at 4.
Lakers Pacers.
Yeah, Suns, Celtics, Lakers Pacers, same thing.
Oh, yeah, Lakers Pacers, 4 p.m. There we go.
That'd be a good one. Right here on ESPN 1320. That is Sacramento sports leader. I want to put a pin in the Kings stuff briefly.
Yeah.
Sorry if I blew out eardrums there.
Right when you came on, I think it was a glitch in your Wi-Fi.
It was a glitch, yeah.
Yeah. You're all right. Go for it.
All right. My bad, guys.
We're good.
All right. I want to put a pin in the Kings stuff briefly because this news came across my timeline today and I really want to talk about it. So Trey Lance, number 3 pick in the 2021 NFL draft by the San Francisco 49ers. Spent 2 seasons in San Francisco. He played 8 games. He started 4 of them. Was not very good. In 2023, he lost the backup quarterback battle to Sam Darnold and got traded to the Dallas Cowboys, where he didn't even suit up for a game in 2023. And then in 2024, I think played 4 games. He started 1 and didn't show any kind of market improvement. He hit free agency this offseason, and there's just been nothing. It's crickets on the Trey Lance front. Until today, when TSN in Canada, the sports network, TSN's Dave Naylor reported that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have added Trey Lance to their list of players that they're going to negotiate with. And it sounds like Trey Lance might be headed to Canada after 4 years in the NFL. And yikes, dude. What a disaster. I did the math on this. He has thrown 461 passes since 2018. He's thrown 461 passes. Mm-hmm. There were 16 quarterbacks in the NFL last year who threw that many passes just in last season alone.
Oh,
I feel really bad for Trey Lance, but he's cooked, bro. When you're not even 25 years old yet, he's not. He's not even 25. When you're not even 25, you've got 4 years in the league, and teams are like, no, thanks. That's a bad beat. That's really, really tough.
It's crazy because he does have talent, but it takes so much more at the quarterbacking position. And, you know, like, again, I watch so many players come through Sacramento. They have tons of talent, but once you get to the league, you have to be different. You've got to be able to hold your own. You've got to be able to, follow directions and learn and read schemes and not just be a guy that can go out and put up a bunch of points at the NBA level and not just a guy who can, you know, run or throw a bunch of yards here and there, but make bad decisions all over the field. But once you start to not get the opportunity to show and to grow into who you might be, it just becomes really, really difficult.
Yeah, you fall so far behind the developmental curve that even at 25, like, that's not super old in NFL years, but, like, when you've not gotten to play,
yeah,
you don't just get to be 25 and like, okay, hey, yeah, have all these snaps now. Somebody said, who cares about Trey Lance? Let's get back to Kings talk. Okay, cool. Let's do that. If we took all the Kings and 49ers draft picks of the last, let's say, 15 years.
Okay.
If we were ranking them in order of badness, is Trey Lance the worst one?
No.
I have other contenders. Because keep in mind, let's add context.
Okay.
The 49ers traded 3 first-round picks to move up to draft Trey Lance. They got 2 seasons out of him, basically. He didn't play much his first year. His second year, he was supposed to be the starter, got hurt in week two. They traded him for a fourth round pick the next offseason. Other contenders for San Francisco, we have Solomon Thomas, who went number three overall in 2017.
Well, that was bad.
Really bad. Like, they thought he could play defensive end. It was very clear he couldn't. Mm-hmm. Not a good pick. But he's still in the NFL, at least. He's still getting checks. He's not a very good player, but he's at least in the league. Javon Kinlaw, same thing. Javon Kinlaw, they traded back one spot, passed up Tristan Wirfs, who was an all-pro player for the Buccaneers at two positions on the offensive line. And the Niners drafted Javon Kinlaw instead. He spent 4 years with the team and then is gone. But again, he just got a three-year, $45 million contract. The other one that jumps out to me is AJ Jenkins for the 49ers in 2012. He went 30th overall and got one target in one season and then got traded.
Wow. He did pop really up bad somewhere else and at least played a little bit, right?
He got a little bit of burn in Kansas City where they traded him, but not a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But at least that was the 30th pick.
When I look at like errors that the Kings have made, like the Kings have made so many errors, it's ridiculous in the first round, but so do other teams. Like I've said this forever. For some reason, Phoenix always gets off the hook for their horrendous drafting. Like the only players that they ever drafted in the last like decade that really panned out is Devin Booker. And he was at like the number 11th pick or the number 13th pick. Like they, you know, top five picks, you know, Anthony Bennett, Alex Len, Dragan Bender. Like they
didn't take Anthony Bennett.
Oh, they didn't take. Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay. They took Alex Len in that draft. You know, even like when they took Jalen Smith over Devin Vassell and Tyrese Halliburton with the 10th pick, like they've made a ton of errors.
You get Josh Jackson in there?
Oh, yeah. Josh Jackson instead of De'Aaron Fox. That was a fourth pick.
DeAndre Ayton over Luka.
Yeah. And that's one, like, how do they get off the hook? Because they took, Ayton's not on your team anymore. And to be honest, he's not a great player. So I think when you look at, like, the Kings have made all kinds of errors. Now, the NFL, when you give up three first-round picks, it's a lot different than the Kings giving up three first-round picks. Value of first-round picks is different NFL because you have six picks versus what they are in the NBA. But the Thomas Robinson selection, Thomas Robinson with the, fourth pick? Fifth over Damian Lillard, who went the next pick. And, of course, Damian Lillard was... I was told the night before the Kings were selecting Damian Lillard and that it was a done deal and they were taking him. Then the Kings doubled down the next year and they took the next year they took Ben McLemore.
Yep. Seventh overall.
Over CJ McCollum, who he's not forgotten it, but they brought CJ McCollum in for a third visit like on the Monday before the draft. And he thought he was going to Sacramento. The next pick after CJ, I believe, is Steven Adams. And then, like, the 15th pick of that draft is Giannis Antetokounmpo, which you missed that one. But the Nick Stauskas draft pick was absolutely horrendous. Again, Thomas Robinson was out of the league so fast. That was...
The jarring thing with Thomas Robinson was... I remember Scott Pollard... on the radio and being like, this is not an NBA player.
No.
And then you watch Thomas Robinson play his first NBA minutes, and it was like, oh, this is not an NBA player.
You know what's funny, though? We watched him in, like, his first practice. It was at the old practice facility. They pushed up. It had, like, a screen that would drop down so we couldn't see in. They lifted the screen so we were able to look through the one-way mirrors into the room and watched him practice, and he had this he grabbed a rebound, went coast to coast, had a beautiful layup in transition. You're like, man, this guy's got something. And that was the first thing people started to say. He's able to dribble the ball up and down the court like he's a guard, and then nothing. And it started early on, like he was rough. He didn't want to be there, like almost day one. Was like, oh, this is a mess. I don't want to be here. And, you know, so there are players that, like, just don't fit. But again, like the Kings have made mistake after mistake after mistake. So I would like to say Trey Lance is probably the worst, but, you know, I don't know. Thomas Robinson played like 313 games in the NBA. You know, again, if you go deeper in the draft, Malachi Richardson barely played in the NBA. Yorgos Papayannis, probably one of the top.
Yorgos is a good one.
One of the worst draft picks in the history. But then again, no one around Yorgos was any good either. Like Wade Baldwin was right there and nobody wanted to touch Wade Baldwin. That was just a bad draft. And the problem the Kings had is that they were the number nine pick, where again, that what they should have just done is drafted Domas. Domas, I think, was the number 10 or 11 pick in that draft. They had Marquise Chris with number 9 and they traded him for the 13 and the 28.
Hey, I hate how the NBA does their drafts.
Yeah.
Because in the NFL, when I want to look up who the 49ers have drafted, I get a list on profootballreference.com of every year and every round and all the picks, where they went to school and their stats.
Yeah.
With the NBA, their list shows like, it shows that the Kings drafted Marquise Chris.
Oh yeah.
That's stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. How do they not fix this? Because then you get the weird stuff where the guy's got the hat on and it's not the right hat. And it's just a weird thing for posterity.
Yeah. Transactions.
I hate it. It's a really easy fix and the NBA needs to make it because this is not okay anymore. I don't like it.
You know, what's funny
A fan.
Is that the year the Kings drafted Jimmer, they had the 7th pick where they took Bismack Biyombo. They took him along with Beno Udrah, and they traded him to Charlotte for the number 10 pick and John Salmons, right? So they swapped 7 and 10. So that was the first time that and one of the only times where we didn't get a player after the draft, because he was waiting for the transaction to be done and it took forever. And by the time they got it done, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning in New York. And he had already left and was celebrating with his family, you know, and like wasn't around.
What a clown show.
Yeah.
Not that he was celebrating, but that's how the NBA does it.
Yeah. I remember someone did a whole video. There was a company that made a gigantic cake for Jimmer Fredette and his family. Like weird, but either way.
I can't see you right now because my monitor just became unplugged, but it's okay. We're just going to let it rock. Here we go. Let me see if I can fix this on the fly. I don't think I can.
Okay.
That's fine. That's fine. We got this. I saw somebody in the chatty house lump in Mike McGlinchey with Javon Kinlaw and Trey Lance and Solomon Thomas. And there's no bigger way to tell me you don't know ball than by lumping in Mike McGlinchey with those guys. Like, seriously.
That's
like,
funny.
Was Mike McGlinchey the best offensive tackle we've ever seen? No. But was he Solomon Thomas, like, Trey Lance, first of all, like unplayable player, clearly not even going to be in the NFL. Solomon Thomas, not a starter, barely a rotation player. Javon Kinlaw, not a starter, barely a rotation player, at least on a good team. Maybe Washington sees something that I don't. But Mike McGlinchey like started for 4 years and was good. I think that's so silly lumping him in with those guys. That's just you can not love the pick, but he got a fat contract from Denver.
Yeah,
because he's an effective player. Mm. You can say he wasn't worth the 9th pick. They should have taken Colton Miller. Okay, cool. Like what? That's fine. But let's not act like Mike McGlinchey was an unplayable player who's not in the league anymore. That's insane. That's so crazy to me.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Kyle.
The Mike McGlinchey hive is here. I'm glad that I got that off my chest. That's what's important today. Man, Jimmer Mania in Sacramento was really something.
It was crazy. I'll tell you, the day he got let go, I lost 600 Twitter followers in one day. And, and that's in the day where like 4,500 Twitter followers was like, oh, yeah. Man, I lost more than 10%, 15% of my Twitter following in one day. I was pissed.
Decent percentage.
It was like, look, we gave you good coverage at Jimmer.
All right. Are the Kings going to miss the play-in? We'll take a look at the Mavs and Suns schedules coming up here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's Joe Brazil is riding with us. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. You just heard voice guys say that. We're taking you up to noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. All right, let's get back to your Sacramento Kings, who lost their fourth game in a row last night. They fell to the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Western Conference favorite Oklahoma City Thunder. And the question now looms, perhaps even larger than it did after the Monday loss to the Celtics. Are the Kings going to wind up missing the play-in? And man, it's crazy that this is where we've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
But they're now tied with the Suns at 35 and 37. They're a half game up on the Mavs, who are 35 and 38. I have some good news, though, for the Kings. And this is why I don't think they're going to miss the play-in entirely. Partly because they're not going to pack it in. At least I don't think.
Yeah.
We've talked about that earlier. You know, they can hand the keys to some of the younger guys and let them play and rest DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine or whatever. They're not going to do that. They're going to try and win. The Kings' next five games, we've talked about this before, but it gets a lot easier. Here's their next five. You have Portland tomorrow. Then you're at Orlando. You're at Indiana. Tough game. The Pacers are playing really well. But then you're at Washington and at Charlotte. Can you go 3-2 in that stretch?
Yeah. I mean, can you go 4-1 in that stretch? I'm like, again, they're the Kings, yeah. So you don't know. But again, Orlando is a sub-500 team. You know, the only team with a winning record.
Orlando's tough, though, man.
Yeah, I agree, but the only team with a winning record in that group is Indiana. And mm-hmm. if you're a team that has playoff aspirations, you have to win those games. Also, we've talked about strength of schedule forever. The Kings had the second most difficult strength of schedule for weeks and weeks and weeks, right? And mm-hmm. it was like, oh boy, the Kings are up against it. They just went through the difficult part. They just, you know, mm-hmm. whether they survived or not, they didn't. They went 2-5. Over the most difficult stretch, and you know, we can like figure out, you know, what that means long term. But their strength of schedule after last night's game dropped all the way down to a 501, and so their final 10 games is a 50. It's like a coin flip. It is, and I would expect 5-5 or 6-4 over the final 10. That's kind of where you're at. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if they can go 7-3 and get back to 500 on the season, but you know, you still have Cleveland and Denver and Indiana, a Clippers game and a Detroit Pistons game, but you also have Washington, Charlotte, the Blazers, Orlando, and the Suns. Like, it's sitting there mm-hmm. for the Kings to actually make the play-in. And Phoenix still has a 620 win percentage against. And so while
Phoenix's next five games are insane.
Yeah, like their entire schedule, but go ahead. I'm sure you've got their next five.
Their next five, to your point, Boston, at Minnesota, home against Houston, at Milwaukee, at Boston.
Yeah.
So they're at home against the Celtics. Then they have to travel to Minnesota to play a Timberwolves team that's battling for a sixth seed. Then they have to come back home. They have to play Houston. And then they have to go on the road to Milwaukee and then to Boston.
And just so you know, in their final 10 after that, they still have OKC. They still have OKC. So they still have the Bucks, the Warriors, the Knicks, the Rockets, two against the Celtics, one against OKC left. Their easiest opponents are the Sacramento Kings and the San Antonio Spurs.
Man.
Yeah, that final game of the season, that could have like a whole lot of implications.
Yeah, that could be the difference between making and missing the play-in. It could be the difference between hosting and not hosting a play-in game. The thing with Sacramento is you want to talk about how bad Portland is. But Portland is coming off. They've lost two in a row. They played Boston and Cleveland. They lost both of those. But prior to that, they had won four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a young team that is playing super hard, and they have a bunch of dudes who are really good athletes. Then you go to Orlando, and that's an Orlando team that is a half game worse than the Kings, by the way. That's not a 20-win Magic squad, and they have a lot of talent.
Well, they're not going to be an easy game. Yeah, they're a half game out of seven, and they can't get to six in the East, but they're a half game out of seven. Yeah.
Indiana's been playing really well. That's going to be tough. And then even Washington stinks. Don't get it twisted. But you've got Alex Sarr, who's starting to figure it out in the NBA. You have Jordan Poole, who's starting to figure out his role a little bit. Like, they've gelled a little bit post. They've gelled a little more post Kyle Kuzma trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a game the Kings should win, to be sure. But that's not, oh man, they've punted. They are losing every game by 40. It's not going to be that type of game. And then you have to go on the road to Charlotte, which is another game that the Kings should win. So those first three. I'll put Washington in the easy bucket for now. But those first three are not like, oh yeah, the Kings are definitely, they're for sure going 2-1. I just can't get there with them.
But I think as of right now, you're going to be favored over the Blazers at home. You're probably going to be favored over Atlanta. Over Orlando.
I bet they're not.
It'll be close. Maybe they're 1-point dog because it's at home in Orlando. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be favored over Washington. You're going to be favored over Charlotte. So of the next five games, at worst, you're going to be favored in three and maybe four. So, I mean, you got to take care of business. And yeah, you still have a Cleveland team, and you still have the Pistons are playing tough, and you still have the Nuggets. And, again, the Clippers, maybe the Clippers don't care on the second to the last game of the season. And then you're going to have the Phoenix game. So I think the next five games will decide a good portion of what's going to happen this season. If the Kings don't go 4-1 over the next five, they're going to have a difficult time making the playoffs, making the play-in.
Because you have to figure the Suns in that Boston, Minnesota, Houston, Milwaukee, Boston stretch are you maybe get two. Maybe.
Yeah.
And Micah 1-4. Like there's a real chance to create some ground between yourself and the number 11 heading into the final five.
Yep.
But I just can't. As badly as I want to give the Kings the benefit of the doubt, as badly as I want to throw on my purple glasses and be like, yeah, hey, this is all good, I don't have any reason right now to go, hey, they're going to go in and take care of business against Portland. Yeah, they're going to suit up and they're going to go to Orlando and they're going to play great. Then they're going to play really well. In Washington and Charlotte, they might lose to Indiana, but hey, that's a 4-1 trip. Let's party on. I can't. I watched them blow a 19-point lead to the Bulls, and I think the Bulls are worse than maybe worse than Portland.
I don't, but
they're behind Orlando.
The Bulls have played really well over the last couple of games. They have. I mean, I'm not making excuses because you could not. I mean. That
19.
That one is going to be the one that sticks out. That really 19 at home.
Yeah.
Like that's tough. That's tough. But the Bulls are, again over the last, they've won three in a row. They've won three out of four. They've won 8 out of 10. Like the Bulls are playing better, and they've beat teams like the Pacers. They've got some easy wins in here for sure. But the Lakers and the Nuggets, they just beat the Nuggets.
Man.
Yeah.
Are we all ready for another do or die Kings Warriors playoff game? Playing game? Are we all prepared for that?
I don't want to do this again.
Is that a possibility?
I really don't.
Of course, dude.
I didn't even think about that.
Golden State is a half game up in the sixth seed right now.
On the Clippers.
They just got, it looks like Steph is going to come back. But without Steph, they have looked terrible. They got smoked by Atlanta. They got dog walked by Miami last night. And if their role guys aren't going to hit shots, like, there's definitely a chance they end up in the play-in, lose the first play-in game, Kings win their play-in game, and now we're playing for the 8th seed with Kings Warriors at Chase Center.
Please no.
In fact, I would, if we're ranking likeliest scenarios, that's top 3?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the Kings can get through Phoenix. But you know, if Dallas somehow beats out Phoenix and the Kings and Mavs play, I would choose the Kings to beat Dallas. And then Golden State, they have the sixth, right? They're half game up on the Clippers, half game up on Minnesota. Those three teams are, like, it's crazy. 41 and 31, 40 and 31, and 41 and 32. That crazy. Is absolutely crazy.
They're just all the same guys.
I don't want to see that teams. Happen again. That would be wild to see them again. I don't, like, again,
I'm
see
taking
this.
The week off, bro.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's absolutely crazy.
It would just be such a perfect encapsulation of where those two teams have gone since their playoff series in 2023, where last year the Kings get them in the play and they beat them, and it's like, yeah, but now it's just, oh, they're still here. We've gone nowhere. Everybody just, they're just following each other down this rabbit hole of mediocrity.
Both teams.
But yes. Yeah. They're just step for step.
Yeah, absolutely crazy.
I want everybody to buckle up, because, like I said, if we're ranking likely scenarios, that's way up there.
Yeah. Well, that, and maybe a lot of people are like, hey, the Kings aren't making it. Like, look, the final 10 games of the season, if the Kings play anywhere near like what they have, and like if they play like they did yesterday or the day before, they're probably not going to do well at all, right? They'll probably go 3-7, maybe 4-6, right? If they play like they did against the Cavs, if they bring the same energy and they build some momentum, because that's what I feel like this team is, so momentum based. Like, where are they at from one day to the next? And hey, look, Malik Monk is going to come back eventually. I don't know if he'll be back tomorrow. I don't know what exactly his illness is, but I'm going to guess that there's a chance he's back. That gives you a boost. It gives you a boost for the final 10 games of the season, where you have another guy who can create and get people open and do some things. So, I do think that they've got a shot here.
I would love to. The momentum thing is such a good point, because they come out of the break and they lose to Golden State, but then they win the 4 in a row: Charlotte, Utah, Houston, and Dallas.
Yep.
Then they control that game against Denver in Denver, and wind up losing by 6 because Denver pulled away in the fourth quarter. They beat San Antonio, and then they have the Clippers game where Kawhi's shot bounces in instead of out. And then they lose the next 3. But then they beat Memphis. They beat Cleveland. They're up 19 on Chicago. All right, here they come. Smoke a 19-point lead to Chicago. They haven't won since. And I would just, how does it look if they hold on and beat Denver? How does it look if they had held on, even if they lose to Denver, if they hold on to beat the Clippers? How does it look if they don't smoke a 19-point lead to the Bulls? Do they win? Do they beat Milwaukee, where they were also up 13? Do they close that game out? Like, it seems like this is such, and this goes back to the kind of 30,000-foot conversation we have, is there such a house of cards where just everything kind of needs to go right from an emotional standpoint, from an on-court standpoint. And when one bounce doesn't go their way, it's like, oh, this might just unravel everything for a week. And at this stage of the season, you just can't afford to have that happen.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And that's where, like, yeah, maybe, sure, if they bounce back and beat the Blazers, could they go in and beat Orlando and then upset Indiana, and all of a sudden they've won 3 in a row, and look, they're back in the 9 seed and they've got a stranglehold? Yeah, sure, man. But I there's nothing in the last month that gives me any reason to give them that benefit of the doubt. Because there's a chance that getting smoked by Boston and Oklahoma City was just it. Like, they're just, all right, pull the plug, this is done. And like you just said, they go 3-7 or 4-6 in their next 10 and miss everything entirely.
Yeah, everything
that is two on the table for me.
Everything is on the table, Kyle. Everything is on the table. I don't think anyone who tells you they know exactly how this thing is going to play out, I totally disagree. I like this Dallas. Thing, yeah.
Dallas is getting dudes back. They have Portland. No, I'm sorry. They're also at Orlando. Then they're at Chicago. Then they get Brooklyn, Atlanta, and then they're at the Clippers in their next five.
Their schedule is way easier than everybody else's. Although it's closer to what the Kings is now.
That's why I think you're just hoping that the Suns go 0-5 in this stretch.
Yeah.
Because I can't trust the Kings to do their own work to pull away. So I think you have to hope that you win a couple and the Suns just crater. But they've also won whatever it is, 4 in a row.
Yeah.
And we
look at Dallas. Dallas's most difficult games. They've got Memphis. They've got the Lakers. They've got the Clippers twice. Their easy games, I think, are a little bit of a mess because they've got Brooklyn. They've got Toronto. But then they have the Bulls, Magic, and Hawks, who are all fighting for, 6, 7, 8, 9 in the East. So maybe you get a little bit of a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, look, anything can happen. I think that, you know, again, we talk about vibes all the time, and I know that that Doug Christie talked about yesterday. He opened his pregame press conference by saying he totally disagreed with Zach LaVine about the bad vibes, and he actually addressed the team. He said, "Do we have bad vibes? Because we got bad vibes." And okay, you with the bad vibe, you with the bad vibe, you go ahead and take a couple of days off, and we'll handle this without you. And so it was pretty bold. Like, so if they've got bad vibes, that's not what they're trying to do here. You know, again, I think, you know, like Keegan Murray said it after the game. He's like, "We're not happy that we lost." You're like, none of us are happy that we've lost games here, that we've lost 4 in a row. But that doesn't mean that we've like splintered and we're not still pulling together and we're not still listening and trying to get better and trying to win. And
no, but I also think there's a human element to this.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you see and I see and almost everybody in the chatty house sees and everybody and almost everybody on the internet sees that, hey, you know what? This team just kind of isn't it. The players see it and they operate on a different level. They operate on a different level of confidence and a different kind of just mental wavelength. You have to dedicate yourself and make the sacrifices necessary to become a professional athlete. Like, I totally get that. I could not even fathom having that mindset, right?
Yep.
But on the other hand, I think there's a human element that comes in and goes, oh, like, uh-oh. And you're looking around the locker room. Maybe you feel great about what you're doing, but you're like, ugh, God, we got to play Trey Lyles a lot. Like, oof. Like, oh, man, Malik's out. I don't know what we're going to do tonight. Like, ugh. I think that sets in a little. And that's where I think if you're where a bad vibe would come from without the entire team like splintering and hating each other.
Yeah, and I'll continue to tell you, like, there are people, like, in any walk of life that are you work next to or who have bad vibes with the job that they're in, and your vibes are totally fine. You're like, I don't get your bad vibes. I'm fine with my vibes. And so there is that in a locker room, but at the same time, like, it's such a delicate balance, you know? It's five guys together. You have to have chemistry. You have to be growing together. And if you're not, then you're growing apart. And and that's what we see a lot of the times when teams start to falter.
Yep, that's it. Real quick, I want to get back to the Blazers. If the Kings lose to the Blazers tomorrow,
cooked.
Well, that. But the Blazers I mentioned earlier, their last two losses were to Boston and Cleveland. But before that, they had won 4 in a row. They're playing really hard. They don't understand that they're not supposed to be playing for the 10 seed. They could really quickly, when we're listing out like this battle for the 10 seed, they could very quickly enter the conversation.
Yes.
They're not a team that's punting.
We haven't even looked at what their strength of schedule looks like because we're being disrespectful to them. but
oops.
They have a Knicks, Lakers, Golden State. Those are their three toughest games. They also have the Jazz, the Raptors, the Spurs, the Bulls, the Hawks, and the Kings. Their last 9 games, they have 6 very, very winnable games.
Maybe we'll have the Blazers in our list tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
It's probably smart. All right, that's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's on the ones and twos. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, the handoff, one of D'Lo or KC. They'll be joining us next right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, Kyle Madsen here from the home studio today because I have to take my cat to the vet after the show because it turns out cats get ingrown toenails. I feel like that's an evolutionary thing that wouldn't happen anymore, but here we are.
That's now weird.
I have to take him to the vet so they can take his little claw out of his little toe bean.
Do you have like a cat scratch thing for them?
So many of them.
Okay. Yeah, because again,
they've got a tree that has a bunch of scratching posts on it. They have multiple like cardboard things they scratch on. We got them a special mat that they can scratch on. They scratch on the carpet. They scratch on our couches. They're good. So we don't know how this happened. I'm interested to ask the vet today if there's a way that we can prevent this. So I'll keep everybody updated. You're welcome. I know everybody's on pins and needles.
Yeah, I think it's funny with dogs, you worry because they like steal your socks. Like, you know, we deal with dog hair everywhere. Like our entire life is covered in dog hair.
Same.
But with cats, you do have to worry about the other things, the scratching and stuff like that.
Yeah, you sure do.
That and litter boxes.
It's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building.
What's good?
We love this. How we doing, man?
I'm good, man. I had a productive morning, so everything's all good.
I love the cardigan. Strong
yes,
look today.
Yes, you know, I'm just trying to get on my Kyle Madsen vibes. That's all. You know what I mean?
Stop.
He's the cardigan that's king. What you want me to say?
It's good with him not here. It's good hats. That you're doing it. I like it. I'm here for it.
Hey, are the Kings going to miss the play-in?
It's possible. If you want a definitive answer, I'll say no. But it's definitely, I mean, it's Captain Obvious. It's right there on the table for it to happen. I go back and forth. I heard you talking about a little bit during the break, James, about the pick. I go a little back and forth about whether, like, what's best. Obviously, good draft. I want the player. But I kind of want this draft protection thing to be over. Like, I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't that open up what you could do in the summer trade-wise?
It can open up a little bit. I would say that the other alternative, I kind of feel that if you're going to miss this year, right, and you're going to take a step back and you're going to have that pick, next year is top 10 protected. I have this feeling that it might, if someone else is running the front office, it might like spur them to like tear it down a bit and try to keep next year's pick. And then next year's pick, if it doesn't get sent out next year, it becomes 2 seconds at 2026 and 2027. Mm-hmm. I think, again, if you want like a fresh start for the new guy, the best thing would be for you to lose a pick right now for you to get your 26 and 27 second round picks back, because that's what you get when this pick goes out.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing because you do actually, by giving away your pick, you do get those, you get access to those picks again. And then July 1st, you have access to your 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, plus an extra 20, 27, and an extra 20, 31 pick. Mm-hmm. So you have 9 first round picks. You also have your second round picks back. Mm-hmm. So it would actually be a moment where they got a bunch of stuff, and all of a sudden, whether it's the guys that are here or it's somebody else, they would start out with a not only a fresh slate, but extra picks. And then there's a bunch of seconds that they acquired in the Fox deal as well, some of which already got sent out in the Valanciunas and Laravia deals, but some of which are still there.
Mm. If we're already there, if we're already talking about, I'd rather do this with the pick or that with the pick, I don't know, man. I just...
James says something right there that just hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, we're staring at the precipice of some bad basketball on the horizon. Like, when you talk about if this don't work, you keep your pick, new front office, they might want to tear it down to keep the pick the next year, all this other stuff. And then you actually draft this 19-year-old and you're just kind of waiting for and hoping that he's good. Like, I'm not trying to change anybody's mind or convince anybody. I'm all for whatever, get the Kings on track and winning basketball games. But are y'all ready for that? Y'all ready to beat the Wizards? Y'all ready to beat the Wizards? Y'all ready to cover that?
That's the thing, though, is like, I don't know that they have enough bad players to be the Wizards.
Well, the new front office will make sure they do, because they're keeping that top 10 pick. Like I said, it's just a question. I'm not saying one is right or wrong. I'm just asking you guys, you ready to be the Wizards?
Well, I'll add in the other layer too, that the two players that you really like, you're thinking, okay, if the Kings move forward, but who are they going to keep from this group? It would be Keon and Keegan, right? Mm-hmm. Keon's already turned 25. Keegan will be 25 in August. So here's my point, is if you do think that you're starting over next year and you're going to purge a bunch of stuff right now and you're going to prime your team to be that group that we're talking about, Keon and Keegan aren't even a part of that, because you're going 19, 20, 21-year-olds in the next couple of drafts. By the time they mature into the players they're going to be, Keegan, Keon, 28, 29 years old, and they're the next group of players that are going out the door as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really weird spot to be in, and that's why I've always said it's so strange what the Monty and Wes like group have done, where they just don't draft young players at all.
It's crazy.
Jamias Ramsey is only like under 20 players that they've ever drafted, and every other player, 21, 22, 23, even 24, every other player that they brought in is that age group. They have no youth on this team at all. Devin Carter is he's almost 24. Mm-hmm. Like Isaac Jones is almost 25. Like everyone that they have. So they don't have this whole 4-year, 5-year window of young players that you can say that's going to be our next group of players.
All right.
So like if you're going to go OKC route, you're 5 years away from OKC route. You haven't gone through the process of accumulating enough picks to be that team. Mm-hmm. And then to sort through the players as you're growing, you're so far behind it.
Mm. OKC has also done a really great job of developing players.
Of course.
Like they've made savvy acquisitions. They went and got SGA for Paul freaking George. And not everybody they have. Chet obviously was a really high draft pick, but it's not like they've been picking first or second every year for a decade. Like there's more steps to this than just like, oh, let's be as bad as possible and accumulate picks and make these trades and this and that. Like there's a lot more that goes into it than just, oh, be bad for a few years and then you're good.
To that point though, they had Paul George and Russell Westbrook to accumulate the picks to get the assets. The Kings do not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what you might get for Sabonis. I don't think it's going to be the player that SGA is that they got in return for Paul George and the assets that they got in return for Paul George. So that's the difference between, in my opinion, between what the Kings are facing and what OKC was able to do.
And you know who the player they had that would have got you those assets? His name was De'Aaron Fox, and you traded him and brought in a 30-year-old instead. You made a decision, and again, like this is going to be the biggest thing that we have to break down once the season's over and once the dust settles and we see who's still left. But why did you let somebody that might not make it through April 15th make a decision like this that will impact your franchise for what could be a decade? You let somebody make this decision that might not be here to clean up the mess. Really strange.
I could be wrong here, so please let me know if I am, so I can stop spreading this information. Disinformation? Misinformation? Whatever it is.
Misinformation.
Anyways, I always got the idea that was coming from the ownership because they wanted to try and make the playoffs this year still.
That's what I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's fine, but that's not basketball decisions. That's crazy talk. Like, you have to, if you're going to be responsible, the ultimate person who's responsible, who can be fired, not the guy who can't be fired. If you're going to be the one that can't be fired, you have to do what's best for your career, what's best for the franchise, and you have to hold line. And they did that for a long time, and then they didn't. And so, again, I don't know exactly what they would have got back for Fox, but the package would have looked a lot different if there's not a 30-year-old shooting guard that comes back in the deal.
And not saying it's the right thing. I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm just saying the retort to that would be they held the line for a long time, and it got them nowhere. So now I'm going to do it my way. Like, how long they've been trying to – how long has Zach LaVine been in the picture? Probably 2 years, and they probably fended him off for 2 years, and it's gotten us nothing. So now I'm going to do it my way. That would be the thought from somebody.
But your
I
way
listened
just,
to you for – that's fine. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but yeah. I listened to you for 2 years, and it got us nowhere.
Yep.
Now we're going to do it the way I want to. They should have done it right before. Yeah.
But that player puts you in such a bad position to do anything moving forward.
Well,
and that has nothing to do whether Zach LaVine is good or not. It just puts you in a situation that you can't change the trajectory of your team with.
Yeah, my whole point was that if the owner is coming down and going, hey, you need to go get Zach LaVine's on the table, then pull the trigger. Do it now. That's not... He's not going to wait at that point if he's hell-bent on getting Zach LaVine in the building so they can try and make a playoff run this year.
Yeah.
Like, that to me isn't on the GM. Monty has its own flaws.
But, no, it's on him because he should have done the stuff before so we wouldn't be in this situation.
Yep.
That's it. That's right. That's exactly right. All right. We're done for today. D'Lo and KC are coming up next. Appreciate everybody for hanging out with us. For James Hamm and Joe Brazil, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're back tomorrow on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people. See ya!
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.